If there's content that's borderline, that's content that we basically will not.
There is no second best. There is no second best crypto asset.
I respect you, and I have a great deal of appreciation to you, Jaya.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to JFG Tonight. Voice is still weak, so I'm just here to chill with you guys. We won't do anything complex. I can comment a little bit on the debate of yesterday, and I can show you the current advancement of my game. Because while my voice is weak and I'm tired these days, I still work with AI to advance on my game. So, and I'm very impressed by what AI is capable to do. We've been making massive progress. Astroman says, Jeff, have you heard about the new rock duo from Saguenay-Lac-Saint-Jean that is making a hit worldwide called Engine de Poitrine? Well, people keep talking to me about them. So, yes, I heard the name. I didn't even hear the music. I don't know. I'm not in Quebec anymore. Where? And what is... what is this group? People are still making music. What is this? A fucking radio group? Are they on MTV? What the fuck is happening? What are you telling me here? I don't understand. We're in 2026. Please send me a link, something I can click. But yeah, I've heard people keep talking to me about them in the chat. How do you connect to this music world? I don't know. Are they on CDs? How does it work anymore? Tucker, there's currently a schism happening in the Republican Party. Trump is going hard after Tucker Carlson, Megyn Kelly, and Candace Owens, and Alex Jones. I know why Tucker Carlson, Megyn Kelly, Candace Owens, and Alex Jones have all been fighting me for years, especially by the fact that they think it is wonderful for Iran, the number one state sponsor of terror, to have a nuclear weapon, because they have one thing in common, low IQs. Isn't that a sentence from me? Keep calling people low IQs. Have I made history, or is that just such a common term that I can't quite claim the invention? I don't know, but I made some internet memes with low IQ, calling Andy low IQ back in the days. They're stupid people. They know it. Their families know it, and everyone else knows it too. Look at their past. Look at their record. They don't have what it takes, and they never did. They've all been thrown off television, lost their shows, and aren't even invited on TV. Unbelievable. It's like Trump is like still thinking that TV is a thing. Like, can you imagine paying $70 a month for channels, cable TV? What the fuck is wrong with people? They're nut jobs, troublemakers, and will say anything necessary for some free and cheap publicity. Now they think they get some clicks because they have third-rate podcast. Like, Candace is like at the top of the world, top 50. Tucker also, I guess. But nobody is talking about them, and their views are the opposite of MAGA. Or I wouldn't have won the presidential election in a landslide. MAGA agrees with me. And just gave CNN a 100% approval rating of Trump. Not hand-flailing fools like Tucker Carlson, who couldn't even finish college, He was a broken man when he got fired from Fox, and he's never been the same. Perhaps he should see a good psychiatrist. We are at such a low level, and this is what I realized also yesterday with the debate. Not that Nick was particularly bad. I enjoyed the debate itself, but his crowd is so stupid. It's like, it's unbelievable. I don't know if they're stupid or if they're just literally a bot farm, because I'm starting to see the symptoms of pro-Israeli bot farms. Like, you have these thousands of people just showing up with invalid arguments, but they're just yelling at you, JF has lied through his teeth. It's like, you fucking idiot. I cannot have lied yesterday in the debate because I basically said nothing. That was exactly my strategy in the debate of yesterday on Modern Day Debate. Because I knew the style of Nick and I knew kind of his crowd a little bit. And I knew that these guys are like, facts? Do you have facts to back up what you say? And I was like, first I'm going to trigger them. I'm going to trigger the shit out of them. I'm going to do a whole 1 hour debate without a single fact other than just basic agreed upon historical statements. So I was like, I stripped my debate of any quantitative analysis. Why? Because I've seen Nick in past debates and he has this way of going after any number. And it's like, it doesn't matter if you grant generosity to him or if you're below, he's going to take a number and he's going to start obsessing about it and make a whole minute of gish galloping on it. Oh, well, you know, but they say this number, but you know, okay, I can grant it that this number is okay, but you know, there's other numbers. And I was like, let's see how this guy can survive without any food. Let's not feed the troll. So I had designed my debate tactic for yesterday. It went exactly like I thought it would. Now you can say I won or I didn't win. I don't care if you like it or not. But I executed my debate tactic in the way I wanted to. And my debate tactic is very rarely talked about in debate circles, but it's a debate tactic of evasiveness. And I'm going to make a very, very elementary statement that is grounded in pure morals. And I'm going to count on the fact that most people anyways have their views already set, so it's not like I'm going to convince one side or the other. And I'm not going to come up with anything that a simple Google search would reveal as absolutely true. So it's like the problem, if you bring any numbers to these guys, they're going to say, I disagree with the numbers. But it's like, but the numbers don't really matter. This is the point I've made yesterday. If Israel has mistreated Palestinians, does it matter if it's 30,000 or 70,000? Does it matter if it's 100,000 women dead or 100,000 children dead or if it's 50,000? The thing is, those are moral domains in which 1, 6, 7 of them would be enough to say there's a problem there. Like if you consider the American treatment of prisoners in the Middle Eastern wars and Guantanamo and everything that came out in pictures and leaks. It was a handful of soldiers. Still, it created scandal. Still, it should be addressed that a context was created by the American state to torture Muslim prisoners, basically, and to be cruel for absolutely no reason, just urinating on them. This should be addressed. And does it matter whether it's 10,000 of them or 5 of them? No. So you can abandon the numbers, especially when you're against a guy like Nick who makes his whole shtick is about it. So what I did is I ended up being very Teflon for him. He tried, he was so desperate to have me say things that he was like, you'll hear from my opponent tonight that he couldn't stick to what I was saying, and he kept strawmanning. Why? Because I was giving him nothing. And this is exactly what I wanted to see from him, because I thought, well, you know, he masters the art of just occupying the debate with numbers. All right, so concede this ground. I actually don't care about the numbers. And he was so desperate. He was like, but are you, I think I heard you say or suggest that it was genocide. No, I haven't used exactly this word. And I had on purpose decided I'm not going to use ethnic cleansing or genocide words. I'm going to keep it at the actions are wrong. And it kind of drove him and mostly his crowd crazy. It drove his crowd absolutely insane. They're still insulting me on the comments. Well, Jeff just talks like a leftist, like it's all emotions. Well, not really. I have no emotions for the subjects I talk about generally. Unless they're dear to my heart and important to me, but the news, Iran, Palestine, Israel, I'm not very emotional about any of it. So it's like they confuse, well, the argument was purely moral versus the argument was emotional. I haven't said we should cry for the deaths of Palestine. I said it's indecent, the behavior. The behavior is morally indecent. And for purely rational, moral reasons, in terms of deontology, in terms of, yeah, you know, and they accuse me that my parallel was bad on this, but no, I fully agree with my parallel. In an act of self-defense, you cannot kill millions of people. You cannot say, well, I'm going to shoot a big bomb toward you because I know that among you is hiding an assassin. No, that doesn't work. You are killing more people than you are saving with this action. You are not entitled to endanger third-party bystanders, innocent bystanders, just because you self-defend. Marty Party says, hi, JF. Enjoyed the debate yesterday. Personally, I think Nick came off more convincing, part of which may be because he talked for twice as long as you. I mean, you can think whatever you like. Personally, I'm happy with my performance. I had a weak voice, of course, so I was playing with a handicap. But I didn't want to be dominant either in this debate. Because if you really listen, he spinned in nothingness. I would say give it a second listen and you'll see. He's not talking to me. He's just blathering whatever he had prepared, not engaging with my point. And so, you know, you have to acknowledge that at some point when your point is left unaddressed, that it's basically agreed upon. Because he had to strawman so many times. Just rewatch and ask yourself, did JF exactly say that? Or is that a step above what JF said? And you'll see it's much closer than you think. I'm telling you right away. Give it a listen. Marty says, also lol at people pearl clutching over the nuke comment you made in response to one of my super chats. Some low IQ respondents for sure. Oh yeah, that's easy bait. easy bait. You guys are so stupid. It's like, I'm gonna have fun saying stuff that triggers you. But it's true. It's true that if Iran had a nuclear weapon, they just take North Korea. You know, Israel is not annoying North Korea. Israel is not annoying Pakistan. These countries succeed at being respected once they have a nuclear bomb. Makes sense. ELDR says, in the debate before this one on modern day debate, the audio levels were bad. Your opponent's mic was set to a much higher level. I haven't listened to this one yet, but I hope they address that. Oh, well, yeah, there can be irregularity because with Zoom, modern day debate is one of the last platforms that is still operated by Boomer James. And they are still operating on Zoom. Now, Zoom is, when you integrate from it, there are advantages to it, but there are disadvantages. And there's lots of management for the host. The host has to control the audio levels and look at it. Tucker Carlson talking about Iran.
Without a true meritocracy, can you have excellence? But that's the opposite of what we have. No one is ever punished. No one is ever criticized. No one ever takes the fall. No leader is ever humiliated. Only the people beneath him who carried out his orders. That's the definition of a perverse system that produces, not surprisingly, perverse results like the ones we're experiencing now. So that's the next thing we need to do. Be honest about how Iran, this primitive country, just humiliated us. That's not anti-American, that's pro-American. We love our country enough to want to know, and we need to know. And the final thing we need to learn from this particularly ugly experience is that you have to have leaders who care about you. Is that a true meritocracy?
Populist discourse from Tucker. Yeah, I mean, I'm happy that he's out there representing a kind of voice of dissent against the current Trump direction. But it's very weird how all of these people have put their credibility, their name, and their presence behind Trump at the election moment. And now they're reverting. It's like, how is it that a French guy in Canada knew what was going to happen and you didn't? How is it that you could be so blind that a guy in Alberta that's just scrolling through Twitter all day, that's literally what I'm doing. How is it that Nick Fuentes could know that there was something wrong with the second Trump administration? And how is it that you have let yourself, Tucker, be recruited as part of this lie to the American people? Do you fully acknowledge your role in this? Because you were beside J.D. Vance, propping up this administration. I don't know that the full reckoning has occurred yet. Beta Test Ban says, off topic, I want to make your Caucasian recipes. Any expected release date? The book is going very well, White People Food. I cannot give you an expected release date, but I aim for September, October. I aim for being in time to be a Christmas gift next year and you know, 1 or 2 months in advance at least, so that we can get those books delivered before Christmas. That is the goal. And yeah, I mean, we're in April, just finished my taxes. So that was taking a lot of my time, taxes, budgets, income. So now I just send them by mail today. So that will give me time to go back to White People Food. And we're in April, that leaves me 5 months. It's doable because I'm at 240 pages. My aim is maximum 300 pages. So I got 60 recipes left to develop. Very advanced. The current state of the book is great. Just needs a reread for what exists and then the production of a new 60 pages. And we'll have really a massive encyclopedia of European food. All right, let's get started on the game. Bro, I talked to you guys on a recent show about anti-gravity. This was doing great work, but one of the problems with anti-gravity is it's Claude AI and Gemini AI from Google. And they are so restrictive in terms of they stop serving you. So you can't do continuous vibe coding with it. They eventually stop you and they say you have expired your credit. And I paid for subscription. It doesn't get you much further. I was like, it's like you gave me like 3 hours of use free. Okay, that's great. Can't complain. It's free. Now I pay $30. You give me another 2 hours of use. And now I buy the supplementary credits and it gets me like 5 messages and I'm exhausted and I've exhausted the credits. So it's like your professional option. Now I understand there are bigger tiers that would get me more use, but your base professional option where I pay about $40, it got me changes in. Whereas I have now experienced with Codex, with ChatGPT. And ChatGPT will follow you through hard work that takes days and days. And it has only happened for a couple of hours that they said, you've been using too many messages, we're banning you for a couple of hours. But ChatGPT has been making my game evolve in, it would have taken me my whole life. We are now at the point where a lifetime's worth of work has been made on that game just in the last few weeks. So let's try to see if it starts well. I have now a dedicated server set up and I've reprogrammed with ChatGPT. I've reprogrammed. So look at this, we have a complete arena of combat. We have multiplayer. The two players can see each other. Look at one player moving into the other. Now that's the Zillin engine code for Voxel's world. So the 3D world with blocks has been designed by ChatGPT today. So I had started with some lanes and dirt and grass, but ChatGPT has now completed the work by adding all sorts of blocks. So here's the full diversity of blocks. We have blocks to create an entire complex world. We have plants. Now you can take those blocks, you can build over them. You can elevate yourself on a pillar. Here. We got super design carpet blocks. We got special weird blocks here. We got marble type blocks. We got blocks for snow worlds, swamps. Now we have a MOBA going on that is a lane with a tower at the end, and we will experience live combat, ladies and gentlemen. Creatures are now programmed to, so that's my team. Let's go see the creatures of the other team. Sword hits. Three creatures killed. Little birds right here. All right. Now just look at the library of items. We have a scroll, a whip, an apple, gem, cake, lettuce, burger, scroll. You can take the scroll, put it in your readable slot. This will give us XP. We have bones, dice, beer, pumpkin, scrolls, shovels, letter, black letter. We have plants. Each of the plants are shovelable. We have a flute. Oh, we have the holy grenade. Let's start dropping some holy grenade. All right. Enemy incoming grenade. Let's kill these guys. Boom. Grenade throw. Reminds me of playing Worms with the Holy Hand Grenade. Oh, absolutely. I remember this. I absolutely remember the grenade, the Holy Grenade with the Christian cross on it. All right, let's explore a little bit more of the world. So I'm amazed at the performance that we have reached by working on the network efficiency with ChatGPT, working on prediction of the self-movement, reconciliation with server positions. This is all extremely complex stuff. You can't wrap your head around this. You basically need a system. So here we have a couple of swords, diamond sword. We have a bow. We have staffs. Let's pick up some seed. I will show you the plant. So we have 280 types of seeds. Let's go seed some garden. Okay, I think we have a good patch here. Let's equip some of our seeds. And each of the seeds are leading to specific plants. You can water them with five different types of water, which have different biochemical properties. And the biochemical properties will influence the growth of and each of the plants have their own fruits that will be pickable like this. So here we're picking Brussels sprouts, lettuce. We got figs, garlic. Now for now, it's kind of not super organized. I've put any sort of fruit or vegetable. Here this one is producing carrots. All right. And if we get tired, we can shovel the plants out and collect more loot from them. All right. What else do we have in this world? Let's go explore the outer boundaries. Oh yeah, there's the target bow. I'm starting to work on targetable weapon and targetable staffs. Here, target. So that's our team. Can you water the crops with Brando? Absolutely. I'm planning to include Brando in the game. So targetable weapon. Projectile, animation, blood splatter, capacity to deny your own creep at some HP. All right, we are advancing the wave toward the enemy side. Now, aggro. The animals are attacking me. Of course, I'm invincible in this test environment. We got a magic staff right here. Eventually, this will generate various effects onto the creep. So it's a light staff that right now is just emitting a sphere of light. We got the tower projectile reworked. So now the projectile is much more computationally efficient. You can dance around and it tracks you, but you can't flee it. At some point, it's gonna hit you. Two projectiles pursuing me. Boom. All right, let's explore the outer edges. Oh, hedgehog. Oh yeah, we are in a multi-species world. We have 1,000 items full right now, and it's just the beginning. We're going to crossbreed those items, develop the biochemistry. There will be literally millions of things you can do in this game. All right, let us now explore the outer edges. What do we have here? Let's get rid of some stuff here. So that we got more space in our inventory. Look at this, my whole loot on the ground. Oh man. I love the computational efficiency we've developed. Doubting Thomas sends 20 bucks. Thank you so much. He says in a book, Elder Chronicles, there's a VR 1v1 game where you need to make the most minimal interventions. Change to a species / environment phenotype to change their evolutionary strategy and conquer the enemy on a neighboring planet. Oh yeah, that's great. There are games that are specialized in this. It's not exactly my goal. I don't want to create a game about evolution. That is not what this game will be about. This game is about some degree of natural complexity. There may be some degree of breeding and crossings, genetic engineering, but it's not necessarily the center of the game. First and foremost, it's a game of competition within an extremely complex world, the kind that has never been seen before. So here we have various biomes, the grass biome, we have some mining spots. And here we are exploring deeper hills into the grass biome. We got beautiful trees. Here we got a dark tree with a swampy arrangement. Different types of flowers. We got a special red block, charcoal block. And I'm starting to build a castle with ChatGPT. Full-fledged castle in which there will be creeps and special rewards chest. It's going to be kind of a side quest that you can do inside the castle. For now, I just build the walls and the sides. We will build a full roof and everything. Here we got some darker forest. Yellow grass area. Those are the corners of the map, so the map stops here. Hello, Jeff. Do you like oysters? Try fried oyster fettuccine with garlic and olive, guaranteed to kick ass of any illness. Well, I like oysters. I don't eat them often because they're really not worth their price. That's one of the problems with oysters. But I do like them. I ate them a lot. And yes, I do enjoy deep fried oysters. Let me tell you, at the restaurant, the Federal, they had in North Carolina, they had deep fried oysters in the Caesar salad. And it's absolutely delicious. Now, this is the kind of thing that takes a programmer maybe a week to do. ChatGPT did this for me in 1 hour. Full water physics. Boom. You can swim. It's slower. You can jump out of water. It gives you a boost. Animals are fleeing when you approach them. Look at this. It's not perfect yet, but just the base physics. This is a week of work. Just proper movement correction in water, jumping out properly. Boom. ChatGPT just resolved this in no time. Yes, he even put fish in there with the behavior. I mean, it's amazing. All right, and we have some weeds, black weeds. Oops, didn't refresh my weapon. That's a bug I have to address. I'm starting to have a little bug reaction to my advancement. That's the prediction system that's getting laggy. That's something I need to work on. Let us try a reset of the server. Marby Dog says, oysters are the best natural source of zinc on Earth. Okay. Don't know much about this. Anon Club says, JF, have you seen automation games like Factorio or Satisfactory? Yes, I've seen. Okay, so here we have a game reset. I never played the Factorio or these things. Right now, I need to get my... I never played these games, but I've enjoyed seeing the concept of them. We got a lot of work to do to give properties to each of these items right here. For now, I've put them in a floating kind of. We are getting attacked. Jeff, are you able to understand and debug the code that AI generated for you, or are you now on the hook to use AI to fix these minor bugs? I can understand all of it, but not at the speed that AI does. So very often what will happen is you can understand all of it, but it's much faster, even if it's a bug. Before you even begin to understand the code, it's even faster to just say to AI, hey, I know what's going on here. It's probably somewhere in there. Can you have a look? And AI will absolutely just own it every time. Just absolute poetry coding. I mean, look at the flow of the game. This is all relying on very complex adjustments to the networking patterns. I can design a base networking pattern, but then figuring out why is my character shaking every 13 seconds? That kind of stuff is like, it can take you days, but AI will find exactly why it's shaking every 5 seconds or every 13 seconds. And he's going to say, oh, well, you know what? This place of your loop needs to be worked on a little bit. We got some gold right here. Let's take that gold. We will have much fun designing with these cubes. Why do you create Minecraft? It's not Minecraft. My problem with Minecraft is it's never truly been adjusted to PvP gaming. What I want to create is a universe for actual PvP gaming of a competitive kind. I want people to be playing this game like they play Dota. So that's the project. The fact that it's Minecraft-like in its universe is truly just because I enjoy the world. And I think it will lead to much complexity. But a priori, I'm not developing a creative game of Minecrafting. The goal of this game is not to mine. The goal of this game is to absolutely destroy the other team, as the fights will happen in the lanes right here. So you can see the waves of animals. The goal of this game is to produce stronger animals and to produce stronger heroes, to push the lane more aggressively than the opponent and eventually dominate the tower. So it is more in the spirit of Dota as a game, but it's a Dota embedded in a Minecraft-type universe. I mean, look at all the possibilities here. We will be building entire worlds with this stuff. I'm very excited because this would have been undoable without AI. Just the current product that I have right here, dedicated server running, this is a product that would be produced by a team. Over a year, over 2 years, maybe they would have worked on a team of 30 people, 100 people. Some of them would just have created the items. Some of them would have created the code base. They would have gotten together and it would have taken a year. I'm alone creating this world, but thanks to ChatGPT at this point, because it's ChatGPT has been the best, honestly, and I hate the company. I hate Sam Altman, but it's been just slightly superior for my purpose. I don't know why. The conversational style, the honesty of the edits, the following of exactly what I'm asking has led me to conclude ChatGPT has a slight edge over Gemini, definitely. Gemini is kind of weak. Claude Opus, by the way, is overrated. Not as good as I would have liked, and not as good as people make it out to be. It's extremely limited in time use. They will ban you within a couple of tries. And even if you're a paying customer, it's like I bought a subscription and I'm cloud limited. It's like, okay, I'm not going to buy it next month, I guess. But ChatGPT has been delivering on a consistent basis and has been making a lot of these changes. Sometimes it will have a blind spot, and sometimes I'll go ask Gemini to try to get me out of a trouble that was created by ChatGPT. But overall, ChatGPT has been delivering the highest quality. Yes, Larry Fisherman says, kind of reminds me of tower defense with waves. Absolutely. It will be. It will not be exactly like tower defense, because tower defense is kind of super specialized, but there's the idea of it. Plapides says, one problem with AI coding is that for security / sensitive code base, you can't use AI since this introduces major security exploits. Sure, there are purposes for which, but I think even in security, you can absolutely use AI intelligently. If you have a precise idea of what you want to do, you can very much ask AI to provide a template, and then you can do whatever sensitive work you need. But of course, AI raises problems, but they're not that big. And honestly, AI has been having basically computer access to my whole computer, but you can see they are diligent in not invading your computer and being very careful about changing your code base. They are extremely pointy in their change. They do exactly what you asked for. So it's been a very positive experience to me. Wiki Summary says, are you going to add Rebecca Hargraves to the game? Would make for some interesting gameplay. Maybe we can add a blonde Belly of the Beast in the game. I was thinking about adding a Coach Red Pill, maybe a little world, like you mine, you dig, you mine, and you end up finding a bubble in under the ground where there's like a video of Coach Red Pill playing. I think there could be a lot of references we introduce in them, cameos. Plapides says, Jeff, are you assuming the diversity coders are going to be using AI intelligently? Oh, well, you know, one thing I'll say, having had this massive experience in the last 1 week or two, now I've been using AI for months and months, but last week or two, I've been using AI extremely productively in the making of this game. And I can tell you, it's not going to be easy for anyone to do. Like, and this was a truth already observable in the Google times. There are people who just don't know how to search. You have to phrase your thing correctly for Google to send you to the right website, right? You need to have some degree of culture. You need to know the words. Like, what is a spawn? What is a fleet survival reaction? What is an aggro? Those are gaming culture terms. And you need to know a lot of them to get AI to do the right thing. You cannot just come in and say, AI, design me an entire game in line with my vision. You have to say, look, the little chicken right there, it's having a bug at this exact moment, and this moment is the post-death survival loop. Can you fix that problem? Now, if you can be that precise, if you can understand, AI will be a massive help to get you there. Because it's one thing to know, oh shit, there's a problem with the chicken post-death loop. it's another thing to, oh, now I need, what was the file? Now you need to go back to the file. What was the line where I was doing the post-def loop animation? AI will just hone in on it and he will say, all right, this was the line. Ty Rogerson says, a well-phrased question is half the answer. With AI, it might be all of it. Beautiful. Good night, people. Much love. And I'll see you all tomorrow.